So I'm pissed. I can't find the my crappy ukulele. The good one that right. Laura spent good money on is the action's too high and it goes out of intonation the moment I play it. It's Heisenberg's uncertainty principle.
The crappy one is like Willie Nelson's guitar, right?
Yes.
It's the old crappy one, but it still sounds awesome.
And it plays perfectly. Like I can play it on Viv's $30 one,
uh-huh.
But she won't let me borrow it. I just asked her if I could borrow it. She said no.
Well, I asked Owen if I could borrow his recorder. He got like a plastic recorder,
right.
And then he's like, yeah, and I was aware of that. He's right. Like, I don't know. It's in that toy box, and I said, forget it.
Thank God for small favors.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, a gentleman is somebody who knows how to play a recorder and doesn't.
When
the people that you know don't like you, and your treasured friendships end, tune in to this podcast. We're your artificial friends.
I like that version because I don't get flipped off.
Yeah, I have to. The cording mm-hmm. of that one, what is it? I guess it's the B. And it's the
next small two, so you have to scrunch your fingers together. So
B
like,
minor.
Fingers got to protrude out.
It looks bad. It looks like I'm giving you the bird. Welcome, Josh. It's great to see you.
I'm excited to be here.
I have a couple of things I need to talk to you about.
All right.
That are, I think are fairly important. But go ahead.
Nothing. I was just going to, you want to crack one open?
Yeah.
All right. So this was another recommendation and from a listener. And
on your artificial friends on Facebook?
This one was an email. And she gave this recommendation. I was thinking about it. And I said, you know what? I'm going to try. I think this is a great idea. We're going to go a little curveball today.
Oh, you know what? I have heard about this.
I've been meaning
and never tried.
And I thought this is a perfect opportunity because you guys were talking about the soda store and everything. We're having your father's root beer.
Surely you've seen this, at brew pubs and gastro pubs and stuff. Here you go.
It's from Small Town Brewery, and it was recommended by Angela Peters. Cheers to you, Angela. Here.
Cheers, Angela.
All right. What's the alcohol content? 5.9%. That's not bad for root beer.
Yeah, that's a...
get some ice cream.
A little kick. Oh, God, can you imagine?
That would be great. I should have... Oh, damn, I blew a perfectly good opportunity.
Crap.
They don't sell ice cream at the liquor store, though.
Let's try it. Okay. Oh, that's real good.
Oh, wow, that doesn't even that doesn't even taste like alcohol, right?
I know.
That's just like good root beer.
Oh, God. Could you imagine what... a real drunk.
I wonder if
looks
this
like
is,
on this.
I wonder if this is what they really were trying to make when they first made root beer.
Oh, Angela.
Oh, thank you.
That's real nice. That made my day.
That is good.
Yeah.
I didn't think. I thought it would be a little bit
off.
But you know, still good. But like a little bit, like funky. A little bit that tastes like root beer.
Yeah, like a chocolate beer.
Yeah, and they have like other stuff. Orders. They have cream ale, and then they had this other stuff, which it looked like a knockoff of Mountain Dew. And then I was like, if I ever drink that, if you ever see me drinking that, go ahead and take my life because I'm at the bottom of the barrel right now. Alcohol-flavored Mountain Dew.
I want to talk to you, Josh,
yes.
about a couple of matters of civic duty.
Ooh.
That you have undertaken.
What did I do?
Well, the first thing is, you went down, if you don't mind me bringing it up, you went down to the march.
I did.
Yesterday.
I was super excited to go.
And the march for our lives,
uh-huh.
Where you know it was organized in sympathy for the Parkland High School survivor students and in the interest of you know some common sense.
It was right around here. It was on Chandler Bike Path.
What was your takeaway?
It was, first of all, we woke up and we didn't realize that it started at 9 and we were like sitting there at 8 o'clock and then my wife looks at me, she's like, do you want to go? And we were both like, eh. And then she's like, let's go. And I'm really glad that we went. I would have been disappointed in myself had I just taken the easy, no, let's just stay in our pajamas and not go. So we ended up going and it was just an overall positive. It made me feel not for the first time, but it made me feel like that there's hope. There's hope in our future, in the next generation that's coming up, that they're not just a bunch of Tide Pod eating fools. You know, like, yeah. And then I watched some of this stuff on TV yesterday, and I was like, these kids are smarter than me. They're saying stuff that I couldn't believe. I'm like, how can you not respect what this kid's saying, you know?
Yeah.
But the event was great. It was really cool. It was peaceful. Everybody was walking and chanting, and Owen had a great time holding up signs, even though he couldn't read them, but he was holding them up. And then he got tired, and I had to carry him for a little bit, but it was a good time. It was good.
Nice. Yeah, there have been many that have discounted these kids and said, you know, your frontal lobes haven't formed. You don't know anything. But you can't fault them for looking at things and saying, this is insane. It's not – I don't want to keep growing up in a world that's going to be like this. And you can't fault them for standing up and saying what's on their mind about it. I think it's amazing.
And, you know, our generation was different. We didn't have to sit in school and think –
no,
God, I wonder if I'm going to get shot in the back of the head while I'm doing this test.
It did not happen.
So how are we to know what it feels like? And they're doing a fantastic job. And I like the fact that they're like, this isn't about party affiliations. You know what I mean? We're like, we don't care who you are. This is what we want. And we're not stopping it until we get it the right way. And good for them.
Yeah.
Good for them.
Yeah. So that's the, and if nothing else, this whole thing's brought us an excellent Pearl Jam song.
What are you talking about?
Have you heard it?
Uh-uh.
Oh, God, it's good.
Did you see the girl throw up?
No.
Oh, my God. She was a rock star, right? She's given this speech on live television and then just goes like that. And I'm like, oh, my God, what happened? And then she just bows down and she goes like that, throws up, and CNN pans away. And they're like showing all the crowds, and it was like a good minute. And somebody comes out, and she gets her shit together, and she's like, "I just threw up on international television, and it felt great." And then she just she just continued with kicked the rest of the speech's ass. She just owned it. It was awesome.
Wow.
I was like, if I would have done that, I would have been like, just run off the stage.
It's kind of like a pro athlete who just has the jitters, has to go over and throw up. All right, now I'm good.
But at least that happens on the football field all the time.
Yeah.
But at least they got helmets on, and the camera is not zoomed in their face when they're vomiting.
It's true.
I saw Eric Green, who was this tight end for the Steelers, and he was like one of those big, tall, just a like Shaq. You know what I mean? Just a big, beefy, tall guy. He caught a pass and ran like 80 yards for a touchdown. He spiked the ball, turned around and ran and puked in the end zone. It was hilarious. He was like, yeah. And he runs to the bench, just goes, bleh. That was awesome.
Heavens. Well, good for you getting out and doing that. We had a parent-teacher meeting that was planned for that. And so I guess we were doing something unrelated in interest of our children's future. But good on you. The other thing that I wanted to ask you about, exercising your civic duty, is, God, that's good, isn't it?
I know. I'm definitely probably having more than
one. Oh, God, do you have a six-pack?
They don't sell them in singles, and I was like, I don't care. I want to try this.
Well, no, I'm happy all over again. Last time you were here, we discussed the possibility of you going to a Civil War reenactment.
Oh, no, there wasn't a possibility. I was going.
If it happened, there was some...
Oh, that's right. Yes, you're right. If Owen was not feeling good or something like that.
Right, there was some issue where there was a question whether you were going to do it or not. You were going to go with our buddy Mike Sherry and go attend this thing. I talked to Mike this last week.
Oh, you did?
I didn't talk to him. We traded texts and asked him a question or something. And in the course of it, he says, "You must ask Josh about." I'm like, "Are you kidding me? Of course I'm going to ask him about the Civil War reenactment. Take us through it. Take us through the day. Okay. Start at the beginning and don't miss a beat."
Okay, so me and Owen went and picked up Mikey, and it was out in Moore Park, so it was up the it was past like the Ronald Reagan Library, and I forget the name of the town. We pull in, and it's just, we go down this dirt road, and we pay for parking, and they shuttle you up, right? Pay for your ticket, me, Owen, Mikey, and then you walk into this thing, and it's immediately is.
How much is it?
It was $21 for us, and Ellen was for free because it was five and under for free.
Okay.
So first you walk in and you walk right into the Union camp.
You walk right into the crossfire.
you walk right in and they're all shooting. There's people running at you with bayonets. No, but see, walk, and it's just like, it's like a open, there isn't like a an arrowed place to go. Actually, the first thing you do when you walk in is there's toilets right there.
It's a Union camp with porta-potties.
Some guy was trying to fix those. And then, but then you go in and they have these tents. I mean, it's set up like a camp.
Right. Are they authentic?
Well, okay, I'm going to get into that.
Or,
yes.
Or are they?
They're beyond it. I think these actually were in Civil War battles.
Really?
That's how authentic they are.
So it's not people with Coleman.
No.
Nylon
tents. It's not some guy sitting on the bed of a Dodge just sitting there in his home.
Tailgating.
Yeah.
Tailgating in Antietam.
Drinking in Iron City. Yeah, and they're all like doing stuff. They're like doing Civil War stuff, like cooking legit meals. There was a doctor there that Owen was infatuated with, but this dog, you go walk up this dog, and they're all in character. Like, they don't come out of character.
Right.
They might reference like today's presence or something like that, but they're all still, it's 1862, you know what I mean?
Right.
So we go up to the doctor. This was when we were coming out, and Owen, he's like giving like kind of a speech and explaining what he would do. He's holding a skull and he's like, it has a bullet hole in it, and he's got fake he's got like Halloween foots that are cut off. He's got like a pile of 10 of them stacked on the ground, and which is what they would really do. They'd cut off like legs, but I mean, like, you don't really need to bring the fake legs, do we? And Owen is just sitting there watching, just mesmerized. I'm like, this is the goriest part of this whole thing. Let's get out of here. So we go up, and then we start. we're walking. Owen's like, who are these? Who are these? And I'm explaining. I'm like, the blue guys were from the north, and the gray guys are from the south. You know, and there was a civil war, and I'm explaining to him, and he's like, well, I like the gray guys. And I was like, all right, you can like the gray.
It's kind of like how Silas always likes Darth Vader, and
but I did the dad thing. I'm like, well, I like the blue. You can like the gray, but I'm rooting for the blue. You know, and he kind of pondered that for a little bit, and he's like, yeah, I think I like the blue too. So we go up. All right. So you go up, and there's like a big, there's like bleacher seating. I'm not kidding. Right. Like, it's like a high school football game, bleacher seating, but you have to pay extra to get in that. And I'm like, I'm not paying an extra $10 just to sit down, just stand and watch it. I don't even know how much I'm going to like this.
Right.
So we're standing there, and then all of a sudden, there's these like three cannon, Union cannon on our left, and three Confederate cannon on our right, and they're spread about 150 yards. And then the cavalry comes out, right? And the first guy shoots his gun from the horse, scares the shit out of the horse. I think it was a new horse. Scares the shit out of the horse. The horse starts going nuts, like freaking out. And I'm like, oh, my God. This is already going insane. Yeah. His hat, like, flies off. And then he gets the horse calmed down. But this horse the whole time is just running in circles.
Oh, I bet.
And it was just terrifying. Like, I'm like, I'm afraid this horse is going to go nuts and just charge the crowd. So then they have their first cavalry engagement, and they, like, pull their swords out. And they, like, charge each other, and they're basically, like, clank, clank, clank. Like, they're not even trying to hit each other. They're just, like, clanking their swords together. And I'm just, like, standing, like, okay. I mean, what can you really? You can't just go up and smacking and slashing out with a sword.
And there's no way anyone would ever insure that.
If
you were.
Right. They're probably even lucky that they're allowed to be on horseback with a fake sword anyway. So then the Union retreats and the Confederates go back, and then that's when the infantry comes up. So these two regiments that probably represent 15 to 20,000 guys. It's just like these 10 guys here and these 10 guys here. They start marching at each other, and then they stop and they start firing, right? And it's just you're just watching them fire and nothing's happening. And all of a sudden, I don't know how they did it, but they like, it was all orchestrated. Like when guys fell, that was their time to fall. You know what I mean? It wasn't just like, I don't know, I'm tired, I'm a stack, right. I'm dead.
It was,
yeah, like choreographed. It was, yes, exactly. And it was weird because like they fired for like 5 minutes at each other, then all of a sudden the Confederate fired this one volley and like three Union guys fell down and they were like, retreat, retreat, retreat. So then now the Confederates had come all the way up, and the whole time now they're shooting the cannons. The cannons are just like, it's like a quarter stick of dynamite going off, and you don't know when they're going to do it. So it scares the shit out of you every single time. It's just like, boom, you're like, ah, and you can like feel it. You can feel like going across. And finally, one of my favorite parts is the Confederate lines push the Union lines back, and they get to right up in front of us, right? Or right parallel. And all of a sudden, I look down, and Owen's got his tongue out. And he's going, So then the Union did a volley, and then a bunch of Confederates fell down, and the whole crowd went, yeah, like it was a football game.
Let me ask you.
Yeah.
Isn't that, in some instances, I know it sounds ridiculous, the anachronistic part of it and looking at it in today's society's eyes, but didn't people at the beginning of the Civil War,
Bull Run,
they went out with in their Sunday baskets. Best with picnic baskets and carriages to watch the fighting. Oh, let's see how this goes.
Yeah, no, it was like an event. They only did it like once or twice until I realized, holy shit, what are we watching? But yeah, they did it. It was. I would totally go see it. I had a great time. It was fun. It was funny watching like the people die, and then they would actually do maneuvers, right? And then like these two girls. I think they were like supposed to be like light infantry or something. They would come running out to the side and try to flank the Confederates, and then one girl would get shot and the other girl would retreat. Then I don't think they had enough people, so the other girl would get back up and retreat with her. It was weird. It was like they actually, like I said, it was orchestrated. So I think they actually took the pieces of the battlefield and said, these two guys right here are actually 400 guys, and they did this maneuver. You know what I mean? Stuff like that. It wasn't just, let's go make bang, bang, and fall down, and everybody is happy. But they were all on horses. The cannons were awesome.
Did you get to fire a cannon?
No, I looked around. I don't know where. I couldn't find anything to sign up or anything.
Are you disappointed?
A little bit. A little bit. No, but it was awesome. It was cool. Okay, so here's the funny part. So Mikey, the whole time, he's just filming me. Filming me watch this. And I was so into it. So
had you ever been to one before?
No.
You're from Pennsylvania.
Yeah.
And you're a Civil War buff. You've never been to a Civil War
reenactment. I walked away thinking, oh my God, what's it like on like 4th of July in Gettysburg?
Oh, God. When they do 99% humidity and 100 degrees.
Well, that and then when they do the real big ones.
And they're wearing wool.
Yeah, but I'm saying that now you got that actual amount of men that you can kind of picture it. And the smoke on the battlefield and just all those cannons shooting at the same time. Just the audible part is what's so crazy. It's just like, wow. This is 1% of what happened in that battle. Can you imagine that going all around you at the same time and the smoke? And it was awesome. But so they have like these little stores.
Oh, of course.
And I'm like, this looks kind of fun. Maybe interested in doing this. So I go in and they have like uniforms and stuff, like authentic ones that you can buy. They're made. They're not authentic from the Civil War, but they're replicas made.
There are very few actual Civil War uniforms.
Well, here's the deal. So they're super expensive. Everything's super expensive. Like to buy the cup that they used was like $30.
Sure.
The hat, the stupid little infantry hat, just the dumb little one, like $35. So this Monday, I'm at work, and I'm like, you know what, I'm going to research this online, see what the details are about this. Well, like, what do you do? What's And I find out that these people, they literally like start that weekend and live their whole weekend. That they don't go home. Everything is on painstaking detail. They sleep in those cots.
Really?
Yeah, they eat the food. They do all do everything like that. And they're they have these people. If you like have if I was to do this, I would have to get glasses made
of the period.
Of the period. And if I didn't, they would call me a Farby.
What's a Farby?
Far be it for me to point it out. Right? And those people, you know what those people are called?
No.
They're called thread counters or stitch Nazis. Because the stitch in your button isn't a period proper stitch, and that cloth wasn't made, that thread counter, that cloth wasn't made in 1860.
Oh, God.
So, and then, which leads me to describe like some of these tents. You look in. They had this one tent, actually had a stove in it. And it was like a furnace, and it had like an exhaust pipe coming out the side of the tent. And it was period correct and everything. And I'm thinking, I would be miserable at one of these, because I just, all those threat, like everybody being like, well, that's something that wouldn't happen. Like, shut up. Just shut up. Right? You know, oh, God. Just being around that atmosphere, just be like, okay.
Citizens array, citizens array. Exactly.
Far be it from me to shut up.
Far be. That's great. So, it's not for you.
No. I'll stay a spectator. I couldn't deal with that. Just that bullshit.
You know what?
Like, I'm standing there drinking out of a Dixie cup, and somebody gets pissed at me. Ugh, whatever.
You'd be a great thread counter. You would be fucking insufferable.
Stitch Nazi.
You imagine you coming around? It's like, you know, it would. Just, it would be bitchy and so. Oh my God! I can just imagine you coming around and saying some of that stuff just with.
The sharpshooters wouldn't wear a sash of that color. It was more of a golden rod and not a soft yellow.
It'd all just be so passive aggressive and bitchy.
That's what I read about, and I was just like, if this is like the beginning on how to become a reenactor, and they're already giving you a warning, I'd kick somebody in the balls.
That's great. But you would go and see another one of these reenactments.
Yeah, definitely. I would highly recommend it. It was pretty cool. And then this guy, he came out and did the Gettysburg Address. He didn't look anything like Lincoln. I did a better impression than Lincoln. He just came out and he's like, you couldn't hear anything. And it was like, all right, I know what he's saying. Let's get out of here.
I read the book.
Yeah, that guy, he doesn't even look like him. But Owen had a great time. And then he goes, they're not all really dead, are they? And I'm like, no. And he's like, yeah, that guy's moving. I see that guy moving right there. And then me and Mikey were thinking, we saw one guy die, and he fell face down. And we were like, what an idiot. Because now you got to lay there for like 20 minutes and your face in the grass. I'm like, I would lay down. I would like fall down like with my hands underneath, gently with my, like I'm resting every time and just be like laying on my side all curled up. That's how I die.
He looks so peaceful.
Yeah, exactly. Eyes open, just watching the rest of the battle.
Oh, good God. That's fantastic.
That was last week. And guess what I'm doing after this?
What?
I'm going home making kimchi.
Are you really?
Yep.
Have you ever done it before?
Yes, I did it before. It came out great.
Now, you are a pickling expert.
I'm a pickler. I don't know about expert. But I'm a pickling enthusiast.
There's a pickling aspect to this.
I go to a lot of pickle reenactments.
I have one every now and then in my bedroom.
Far be it from me, but that's a bill. but what were you going to say?
Is there a pickling aspect to the?
Yeah, well, fermentation.
Fermentation.
Yeah.
So explain.
I'll make it. Basically, it's like you just take Napa cabbage, and then I take kosher salt, and I rub it into the cabbage, and then I let that sit for like an hour or 2 hours. And I think what that does is the salt gets into the system and actually into the cabbage and actually gets rid of some of the stuff that would make the cabbage go bad. You know what I mean? It like primes it for fermentation. Mm-hmm. Then you add like some fish sauce and this hot chili powder and all this other stuff. And you just mash it into jars. And then once every day for like five, leave them out in the open. Once every day for like 5 days, you open it up, relieve the pressure out of it, and then tamp down. It'll start to make like a liquid. And you just tamp down the cabbage.
It's the cabbage fermenting?
Yeah. You put a little bit of sugar in it too. And then and then I thought the sugar would give it like carbs. But like the sugar turns into something else, and that's what kind of starts the pickling process. I don't know the science behind it, but I know I've just done it a couple times.
Interesting.
Yeah, it's good.
I'm excited.
You like kimchi?
Not really.
Really?
It's not my thing. Every now and then, as a you know.
Have you ever tried? Have you ever tried like the radish kimchi?
No.
Oh, that's where it's at.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We need to go daikon, find a food truck.
Daikon radish or something. Yeah. That's where it's at.
Yeah. What was I just going to say? Mm-hmm. I'm excited. I want to do... I make bread.
Oh, nice.
All the time. And I could... I do it from scratch.
Is there anything better than the smell of homemade bread?
No.
That's got to be the best smell in the world.
Absolutely nothing. And what I've done... we got this bread maker for our wedding.
Yeah.
You know, 11 years ago. And this Cuisinart bread maker, and I think I made 2 loaves of bread in it.
Yeah.
And ever since then, what I do is I just use it to make the dough, to prepare the dough.
Right.
So I'll throw in, and I used to do, and every now and then I still will, you know, the white bread, you know, with butter and milk and so forth in the recipe.
So good.
But lately, what I've been doing is just the Italian loaf, basic, and there are 4 ingredients. There's water, salt, flour, and yeast. That's it. 4 ingredients, and I'll have it, you know, it takes like an hour and a half. I'll set my my phone alarm, and then, excuse me.
Nice.
It's gassy, this root beer. Pardon me, everybody. Sorry about that.
How you doing over there?
This is almost a dead soldier.
Yeah.
This is almost a dead infantryman. you didn't drink as much because you were talking. You were telling us about...
I polished that one off.
You were telling us about the sassafras they were having up at the Battle of Moore Park.
I'm having another one.
Bring it.
Where's the bottle opener?
Here.
All right, so bread.
So what I'll do is I'll put the ingredients in the bread maker and have it make the dough.
Right.
And then come back in an hour and a half, and I'll take a sheet pan and dust it with flour, and I'll take the dough, divide it in 2 parts, and... You know, twist it out into a baguette and lay it down, dust it with a little more flour, and then put those 2 baguettes into the oven. I put a pan of water in the bottom.
I was going
to
say.
You got to. In the bottom.
Do you also brush it with water?
I don't. Maybe I should.
I heard that.
Keeps it from cracking?
I heard that's what gives it the nice golden crust.
I'll look into it.
Not butter, because not I think butter will like cook it, crisp it up. But I remember putting water on top.
You have to have a pan of water in the or a spray bottle in there. It's easier to stick to a pan, you know, a pie plate of water and put it in there, and then set it for 400, and that that moisture in the oven will keep it from cracking apart as it you know grows.
Now, how's it come out? Like what?
It comes out as a baguette. And it's great.
I can just eat bread.
It's so
fresh bread and butter.
It's so. Oh my God! Take that out and cut it with a bread knife at an angle, and take a slice of that and put butter on it. And there's nothing better in the world.
At one point in time, I was buying. You can just buy the dough, bread dough, in the freezer because it was like bread's like $3 a loaf, and I'm like, I could buy 3 loaves of bread right there for $1.99. Just make my own, and it's better.
Frozen, yeah.
Yeah, but then thawing it, it became a little bit of a process of being like, but this, I can't leave it out.
It's gotten to the point where I just have it memorized, and I just throw it together. It takes me, you know, 5 minutes to prepare it, and it's off and running, and then an hour and a half later, I put it in the oven, and it comes out 20 minutes later, and it's divine. but you don't eat gluten, right?
Mm-mm.
So
no, it's not gluten. I don't eat grains or sugar.
Oh, grain. So could you do?
No bread. There's no pasta.
No possibility.
Nothing. But I mean, it doesn't mean it's like I'm a thread Nazi when it comes to bread. I have cheat days, you know what I mean? And then I just destroy a loaf of I'll eat pasta and I just destroy pasta with like a half a loaf of bread, and then I don't feel guilty about it. I just can't eat it again for like a couple weeks.
Yeah. Oh, nice. That's fun. I've wanted talking, and the kimchi is what made me think about this. I've wanted to get a sourdough starter.
Uh-huh.
And you keep a sourdough starter. It's a live culture that keeps going. Are you going to give me another one of these or what?
You wanted one.
Jesus.
Give me. Oh, that's right. You did say it was a dead soldier.
And you keep it in your fridge and it's.
Yeah. You can use it forever.
Yeah. You take.
There's like a good pizza places that do that.
Yeah. You take a little bit of it and you start your loaf with it and you. Maybe you take the whole thing and you start your loaf with it and take some of that and put it back away and that becomes your starter. I don't know exactly the rules of how that goes, but
I think it's the yeast.
Yeah, there are some.
I think you just add something to the yeast and it's like a mother. It creates more. You know what I mean? And then you pull some out. You pull some out and then you add whatever it is to that makes the yeast, and then it makes more. So it's always that same yeast. It's like just coming from the same.
I'm sure someone will post on on Facebook and tell us the details of it. But there are some starters that are decades old, like 75 years old.
Yeah.
Where you know where people and older. I'm sure. I wonder what the oldest sourdough culture is.
There's got to be somebody in Italy that has
had one for 500 years or something.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh God. It's and I can't wait to get one of those.
You know what I was thinking last night? I wanted to ask you
what
we had. Do you remember have we ever talked about candy? Do you remember the great, maybe the most debated and hottest contested argument at the Sound one day? It was me, you, Mikey, Gina, and Danny arguing about what the best and worst candy in the world
and
was.
The worst is those dots on that piece of wax paper.
No,
that's not the worst.
No, the worst is Circus Peanut. Circus Peanut. Okay, let's talk Circus Peanut for a second.
They fucking sucked.
All right, here's Circus Peanut.
Right.
All right, here's the meaning of okay. I got a new candy. I'm gonna make. Okay, what is it? Well, I was thinking I would make a peanut. Okay, that's interesting. Well, okay, but I want the peanut to taste like a banana. Oh, okay. All right, so the peanut's going to taste like a banana. So I'm thinking I'm going to make it like a really orange, fleshy color. Oh, I got it. That's a brilliant idea. And you know what? Why don't we make it like its own marshmallow, chalky texture? Ugh. Circus peanuts suck. And whoever thought, where did they come from? It's like that makes me believe that aliens exist. Because no reasonable human would be like, okay, this is the shit we want to make. This is like something that is inserted into our culture from aliens to see if we can maybe assimilate. I don't know. It's so stupid. I hate the Circus Peanut. Have you ever melted one?
No, what happens?
It turns into like ceramic. At my old job at Nielsen, right? They had every Christmas, we did this for like 8 years. They had a big Christmas tree in the building. We were like on the 19th floor or whatever. I can't remember.
Were you on Wilshire then?
No, that's when it moved. No, over to the House of Blues building on Sunset and Vine, or whatever that is now, where the Waffle is.
Right.
Where the Well is. So in the lobby, they'd put up this big giant Christmas tree every year. And I don't know why. I think we were arguing about Circus Peanuts, and I think I got rather passionate about it. I think somebody brought them in, and I refused to let that shit be in the office. So I was like, who the hell buys Circus Peanuts? Why are you buying this? And so we did, it came about, it was like, let's see what happens when you stick one in a microwave.
Right.
So we did it, and it turned into like this ceramic disc, okay? So then we got the idea, let's go melt another one. When you take it out, it's still pliable and soft. we'll insert a bent paper clip in it and it'll become a hook. Okay.
Christmas tree.
So then we let it cool and we wrote like Merry Christmas from Nielsen NRG and snuck down the lobby and hung it in the middle of the tree. And it would sit there all through Christmas until they took the tree down and they never even saw it. We did it every single year. And up until I was working at the sound, my old boss would send a picture of that year's circus peanut on the tree, would email it to me. How ridiculous.
That's amazing.
And you know what other candy that bugs the shit out of me? This is because of Easter. This is a good one. I was thinking about this because of Easter. Yeah. Do you remember a time? I don't think this time exists anymore. This is a very unique time that me and you lived through where when you looked at jelly beans, mm-hmm. you had to throw caution to the wind because purple wasn't fucking grape. white wasn't like
coconut.
Yeah. And lime. What green wasn't lime,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, well, there's that. You have different brands, different strata.
Yeah, old people and young people.
Well, not just that, but you've got spice beans.
And those fall in the same category as the spiced jellies.
Yeah.
Yeah, but you didn't know what they were. If you were your grandma's house.
Spice gumdrops?
Yes. With the sugar coating. Yeah. Remember, you pick up that purple one, you're like, I know that there's a grape one out there that exists.
Yeah.
But is it this one right here?
It's not.
And 90% of the time, it was like clove.
Spicy.
Just gross. It was gross, and you fell for it every time because you had that belief that somebody was gonna actually make this grape someday, and I wanted to discover that. And the same thing was red. Red was something. It was mostly cinnamon, but you're like, why don't they make it cherry? And what was green?
Mint.
You're like, what? It's supposed to be like apple or lime. Why is it mint?
I mean, watermelon.
And then what was white? No, I don't even know.
It was like spearmint or something.
It was gross. It was gross. The only one that you knew that sucked, that was consistent, was black. And I like black. Yeah. I like black. Yeah, we both licorice. Like black licorice.
Yeah, absolutely.
I mean, that's the difference between today's kids. They got it easy with these jelly beans. They didn't have to suffer like we did.
They got jelly bellies and stuff.
I know, and those are delicious. And it's like you didn't have to sit there at your grandma's place and look at the bowl of crappy Boston baked beans or the bowl of crappy mints or whatever those things. And you're like, I want candy, but both of these suck, so I'm gonna have to try something. Yeah. I'll eat yellow and orange. That's all you can eat. It's true. The whole bowl would be nothing but black, purple, green, and white.
You know what I hated?
What?
Well, I had a love-hate relationship. I'd have one of them, but I didn't want more than one of them. The jelly beans that were the size of circus peanuts. Do you remember those? And they had like an eighth
toes.
They had like an eighth inch thick paraffin coating.
That's like candle wax.
It was candle, it was sugar candle wax.
Yeah.
And you'd bite into it. Isn't it?
Yeah.
All right. They were the authentic flavor. Like the purple would be grape. And
that's what I'm saying. Like
those were right.
Because you wouldn't always eat the purple ones because they were always crappy. You'd eat them because you know there was one point in your life that you had a purple one and it was delicious. And you're like, I wonder if this is that time. It was like banging your head off a wall every time, single time you do it.
Yeah.
Here's another thing I want to put forward about the Easter. That's a theory of mine. How do you feel about Reese's peanut butter eggs?
They're fine. I'm okay.
Fine.
They're good. I don't have the crazy peanut butter gene that everybody else around me seems to have.
Okay.
I like them quite a bit.
Okay.
But I don't lose my mind.
All right. Do you like Reese's peanut butter cups?
Sure.
I think Reese's peanut butter eggs design is the peanut butter eggs taste better than the peanut butter cups.
Really?
Yes.
Well, here's the thing. The problem I have with the eggs is they're always a bitch to unpeel. You know, you got to find the edge of the foil
No, you're thinking about the Cadbury cream eggs.
What do the Reese's eggs?
Reese's are in the yellow square. You're thinking of the ones where you bite in and it's like that muck, that white semen-like stuff.
Egg yolk.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Wait, those are good too, but it's so gross. It's like an oyster. Don't look at it. Don't bite into it. Look at it. No, the peanut butter eggs are they're piece of peanut butter cups, except they're eggs. They're shaped like eggs.
Oh,
you know what I'm talking about? Like they come in a yellow. You really don't know what a Reese's peanut butter egg is?
Yeah, I guess I lived a sheltered life. I think the egg is somehow so bizarre. So you're saying the egg and the peanut butter cup are
they're the same ingredients, composition,
but the structure of the shape, egg informs the taste.
The shape and the mass of the egg lends itself to have a thicker peanut butter center, right? So there's more peanut butter, and then here's the catch is if you've ever bitten into a Reese's peanut butter cup, you'll notice like the top the edges are thicker chocolate. This the egg is more of a roundish thing, so there's a better peanut butter to chocolate ratio in a Reese's peanut butter egg than a Reese's peanut butter cup, which makes me wonder, well, why the hell don't they make Reese's peanut butter eggs all the time? It's the best thing they make.
What was the thing that was made? I remember what it was. Hold on.
What?
I have to look this up. I have to show you.
A Necco wafer? That's a shitty candy.
Do you remember the Reese's Christmas tree?
That's the same concept, except it's not the same shape. That they failed miserably. They also make hearts.
There you go. You ready for it?
Yeah.
There's the Reese's Christmas
tree. It's like dog turd.
There was a big backlash a year or so ago because they made their Reese's Christmas peanut butter trees, and they look like a pile of shit.
that's the same thing. They also they'll do them in February for Valentine's Day too. They make hearts. It looks stupid.
And they taste.
They don't taste as good as a Reese's peanut butter egg. Yeah.
That's superior.
Yeah. What other candies are shitty?
Let's see. Did you ever like Red Hots?
Yeah, I did. I kind of like those.
There's something, you know, yeah. I mean.
You know what two things that suck, and they're kind of very similar, is the Valentine's Day hearts.
Right. Those chalky. Well, now they've taken it way too far. You know what they do now? They do dot matrix spray on there. They don't stamp them with the message, you know.
They taste like ass.
I'll wait, or some kiss, or
winky, 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 or something like that.
Yeah, but. Now it's like dot matrix. It's sprayed on each of them, and I think that's a cop out. And they have shit on there like text me, email,
and what about Smarties?
Smarties, I love.
Really?
Yes, Smarties were okay. It falls into the same thing. Like, do you like after dinner mints?
Depends on what I eat.
You know the ones that, and who was it? Was it Steve Martin talking about those? That they joking about the, it was like what you know, the toothpaste you scraped out of the basin like, after it dried.
You remember certs?
Yes.
Yes.
Yes. So that kind of flavor, but they have the butter mints. Their butter flavor. Mints like that?
Is it like butterscotch?
No, it's like an after dinner mint. You know, the little white pillow that's a half inch. You know,
yeah,
half inch. But they're light yellow, and they're buttery.
I don't remember those.
I think they still.
Really?
Make them.
Yeah. That sounds weird.
Oh, in some places, like some restaurants, I know Ernie's Tacos has these on Lancashire. You go in, and their mints are the peppermint. It's like a 1 inch. It's like
the Pizza Hut. It's Pizza Hut mint.
Is that what they have?
Remember you used to get when you'd actually go in and sit down and eat at Pizza Hut? Did you ever? Yeah, we talked about this. Yeah, you used to be able to go in and sit down.
Well, yeah, I know.
And then when they bill, they bring you those little those peppermints with the red stripes in them.
Yeah, they're red stripes.
Yeah.
They're like an inch across.
Yeah.
And they're like a barrel of.
Okay, yeah, it's the same thing.
Like a slice of a
stick.
A stick. And then, but they dissolve.
Yeah, they have like a chalky thing to them. Yeah,
they dissolve like an after dinner mint like that. I kind of like those.
I like those. That's definitely an old people food.
That horse shit where you get the strip of paper. Do they even still make that when it's the dots on
there? I think you can buy it in like stupid candy. Yeah,
like those, Rocket Fizz or whatever.
Well, you can go to the mall. And
that
you
sucks. Do you remember Slow Pokes?
I love those.
You like those?
Is that
the caramel on a stick?
Oh, I love those things.
Do you?
Did you like the candy that had the caramel and then there was like that cream center?
Oh, Getz's?
Is that what they call them? Yeah. Those are so good. You don't see that many of those anymore.
I usually like to bite them until the center white stuff kind of like squirts out. Yeah. And kind of eat them, divide it in my mouth and eat them separately. Oh, God, what else? A lot of that, the crap that the kids bring for Halloween, I just despise.
Yeah, some of that crap's just, all right, so what's the best? What's your favorite?
My favorite?
As of right now.
My favorite candy, you're going to laugh at me.
Okay, go ahead.
I inherited it from my mom.
All right.
It's the Brock's Maple Nut Goodies.
We talked about this. I never had this. So I don't know what you're talking about.
They're these little tan, I don't know how to describe them. I wonder if I can find a picture of them. Yeah, you know them if you saw them. Let me bring them up on my phone. Maybe Aaron will put a picture up. But it's this nougat, nut and nougat puck that's covered with maple
nougat puck.
There, right there. Have you seen those before?
No.
And so it's nutty inside and on the outside.
Can you buy them?
Yeah, at any store. You can buy them at CVS or whatever. They're fantastic.
Do you like nuts? Do you like chocolate and nuts and the stuff? You need to try the Reese's Nutrageous.
Mm.
It's like this nougaty.
I've totally had that.
Oh, isn't that
it's
awesome?
25 years old.
No.
Yes.
Maybe I'm old then. I thought that was like a newer thing.
No, Nutrageous came out in 1990.
Serious?
I'm pretty sure.
I love those things.
We should Wikipedia it. Yeah, it's been out forever. Those are pretty good. I was at the 99-cent store the other day.
Did you ever have a Reggie bar?
No.
Neither did I. Okay, go ahead.
I went to the 99-cent store, not because I needed anything. I just like to see human frailty.
I like to go. I can go and see what I can buy and destroy for 99 cents.
Exactly. And so Vivian, my 3-year-old, likes to destroy Band-Aids. The other day, she'll use Band-Aids and put them on her dolls, on her fingers, on the floor, whatever.
And twists his ankle. He needs a Band-Aid. I'm like,
blows through these Band-Aids that cost, $5 for a box of them. And then, like the other day, no shit, Laura and I both cut our hands in the same day. She cuts her hand on a knife. I break a plate in the sink and pick it up, and it's so sharp that I cut myself. And no Band-Aids.
No Dora
so
Band-Aids.
I was next door to the 99 Sister, so I'm like, you know what? I'm going to go in and get her some kid Band-Aids if they have them. And I go in and I buy some cartoon owls or whatever, some play Band-Aids for 99 cents, obviously. And I bring them home, and she's like, no Hello Kitty. God damn it. Seriously?
I know, brand names.
But anyway, I was in there, and they had Reese's cups with Reese's Pieces inside.
Yeah, they do twist on that.
That
I've been meaning to try that.
By the way,
do you like Reese's Pieces?
Yes.
They're great, aren't
they? They're fantastic.
They're awesome. I think they're under. That's an underrated candy.
Oh, Reese's Pieces are the best. That's my go-to movie candy.
Yeah.
Go-to.
Are you one of the people? Do you ever hear about the people that like put M&Ms and shit in their popcorn?
Yeah, that's stupid.
That's weird.
That's bullshit.
That's just weird. I tell you a story about when I sat on a Raisinette in a movie, right? I think I said that. No? You sure?
No.
Me and my wife went.
A Raisinette is a raisin coated in. No.
It's a raisin covered in chocolate.
Wait, then what's a goober?
That's like a peanut.
Okay. So Raisinette. It's a raisin coated in milk chocolate.
Yeah. Me and my wife went to see a movie at the Grove, and it was like an 8:00 showing, and it was like on a Friday. And I got. At the time, my go-to movie candy was Raisinettes. So I
which are pretty good.
Yeah, and I destroyed the box in like the first 15 minutes. Little did I know that I dropped like two of them
in your crotch.
In my crotch, right? And now I sit through the whole movie moving back and forth on this chocolate.
You're wearing white pants.
No, I was wearing jeans. But then we come walking out of the theater and into a Friday night at the Grove where it's just packed. And my wife just points at my ass and starts laughing. She's like, it looks like you shit your pants. So I had to walk through the grove with this big poop stain on my jeans because I sat on some Raisinets.
That's amazing.
Yeah. Thank God it's L.A., though.
Little tip for you.
Yeah.
Have you been to Dollar Tree?
I've been to a store similar to Dollar Tree, or is it specific?
It's specifically Dollar
Tree. I'm sure I have. I don't remember checking it off. I'm like
Dollar Tree, in some respects, I find superior to the 99-cent store. In some respects.
Okay.
And I find some Dollar Tree stores better than other branches. There is a Dollar Tree. Then maybe I should just tell you off the air.
You can save it as your local Dollar Tree.
I want it to be my secret. It's as close to you as it is to me.
Okay.
There's your hint. Our homes. In there, they have a wide selection of candy. Now, it's granted, like they'll have maple nut goodies there. My favorite candy. Right. They have them in slightly smaller packages. That's right. One of the tricks they're doing in dollar stores. They'll be like, oh, I'm going to get a pack of Mike and Ike which, by the way, Mike and Ike is bullshit. Good and Plenty?
Yes.
Great. Mike and Ike, bullshit.
You know what, though? They're misunderstood. They're basically just effed up jelly beans, right? They're just jelly beans, except they're shaped like dildos. whatever shape that is.
But that is one of the cheats that they do. Like, you can walk in there and like, oh, wow, I can get gallon Ziploc bags, Ziploc brand bags here? Yeah, but there are three of them in the package.
Do you know who's doing that? Who's the worst? What industry is the worst at doing that skimping on the product lately?
What?
I want you, everybody, I want you to go home, or if you're at home, or go up to your bathroom right now and look at your toilet paper. And look how wide the roll is, the holder. Look how wide the holder is. And then look how wide your toilet paper is.
Oh, they've increased the size of the dirter?
No, they've shrunken it. They've shrunken the roll. Because if you look how big that the roller is on your toilet paper, there's an inch on each side. Those were made to fit pretty snugly to toilet paper. Remember? There wasn't a big gap on either side when you put toilet paper. Now they're shrinking the size of the rolls.
So hold on. So you're saying that the tissue part is roughly the same?
No,
the
size of it, I'm saying.
But the capstan inside, the tube inside is bigger?
No, I'm saying the tube inside is the same. The circumference is the same. The length of the toilet paper has shrunk sideways. Like you,
oh, the width of the width of the sheet.
Well, yeah, you can tell because look on your toilet paper holder. Now there's like an inch on each side.
Yes.
Where before there was only, like when I grew up, there was like, I remember sometimes them not fitting on, right? You know what I mean? Being like, oh, this is weird. Doesn't exactly fit. Now there's like an inch on both sides because they're shrinking the size of the rolls to save money.
Huh. Wow.
Big toilet paper, taking it to the man.
We go, we've started doing more and more of our shopping at Costco because they have more and more organic stuff there. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
They got quality products there.
They really do. And it's more and more organic stuff. And plus, you know, we buy gas there and so forth and save money on that.
Do you eat fish, right? Or not?
I do, but they don't.
Get
so.
their tuna is really good.
Is it?
Yeah, it's great. Good tuna. I would rather buy their tuna than tuna at Ralph's.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Seafood at Ralph's is the gross. They're the worst.
The one thing at Costco that I don't, I'm not appetized by at all is the aquariums full of iced crabs and shit next to the wine.
I have, the shrimp were amazing.
Were they?
You want to hear a fun fact about Costco?
Yes.
They lose money yearly on selling those rotisserie chickens. They lose like $1 million. They lose like some astronomical amount of money per year selling those rotisserie chickens at the price.
It's a loss leader?
Yeah, I think it is. Exactly. Because they're only like, $5 a chicken or something? Like, it's some crazy amount, and everybody goes there to buy them. But when they're there, they also spend $40 on everything else.
Do you have a membership at Costco?
Yeah.
Do you ever go there just to lunch, eating samples?
Not until within the last year had I ever eaten any
pizza?
Yeah, or the hot dogs or anything there. I'd never gone over to that.
The takeaway pizza is not like you can get one par baked.
It's pretty good.
I guess you can get them inside too.
They used to sell deep dish one that you could take home that was fantastic. And then of course, because I liked it, they discontinued it.
There are two wines at Costco right now that are $6.99. No, three wines that are $6.99 there right now that are really good.
Well, isn't the rumor that like their signature vodka is actually like Sky Vodka or something like that?
Well, I think it was one of the other ones like Grey Goose or Belvedere or somebody. Yeah.
It's hit or miss. They also have stuff that's not that great, but the stuff that if you find the stuff that's good, it's totally worth getting.
I was asking someone, you know, that worked there, and I said, "So, I know you can't tell me, but what vodka would you say this tastes a lot like?" Air quotes. Uh-huh. And he smiled. He goes, "It tastes a lot like whatever." And then I said, "What about this bourbon? What does this taste a lot like?" He said, "That one tastes a lot like Knob Creek, except that one's a 7 year age, and the Knob Creek's 9." And so it's
them trying to get rid of some product.
They cut a little corner. You know, maybe it's not aged as long, or you know, there's whatever. But yeah, there's it's stuff that they ordinarily wouldn't be able to sell, and they can sell it off this way, not put their name on it, and make money on what they might have thrown away otherwise.
When we lived in our old apartment, we didn't have air conditioning in the middle, like the hottest, like August, I used to love
in the valley.
Yeah, I used to love just going there and standing in that freezer, one of those freezers, right, just standing there by the eggs, just standing there staring. I'm like, I don't care. I'll just stay here all day.
Oh God, there's so much stuff that the dried mango.
Oh,
the kids, the bags of dried organic dried mango. It's like it's a big bag. Like it costs like $17 or some shit. My kids cannot eat enough of it.
Really?
Yeah. It's ridiculous. There's a lot of stuff you've got to buy, like, you know, 20 pounds of.
Right. But I mean, if there's stuff that you know, you got to pick and choose, you know. And here's the crazy part about Costco too, is don't go there experimenting. You know what I mean? Don't go be like, I wonder if this crab salad's any good. I'm going to buy a 5 gallon bucket of it. You know what I mean? Right. Like try it first and be like.
The reason that came to my mind a little bit ago was, the toilet paper thing you brought up. I was at Costco and I text Laura, "I'm here. Do you need anything?" And she goes, "We're out of TP."
Mm-hmm.
So I'm like, "Okay, I'll buy some." And I go over and it's 60 rolls of it in a bale.
That's what we get. It's like a brick.
And I'm like, I've never bought this much toilet paper.
You need like a dolly to get it up the front.
But I'm thinking, I am certain I do intend to live long enough to use all of this, and it is much cheaper to do it this way. All right. And I take it, it lasted a week.
I've been eliminated from toilet paper duty. Apparently, what I buy is not quality enough, and I absolutely agree with my wife. I'm so used to like her getting the good toilet paper that when I went to get toilet paper one time, I was just like, "Well, this is $7 and this is $8. I'm just going to get the $7 one. I don't know, whatever." I get home and it was like I was wiping my ass with like the
Corberundum.
Paper. It was like the tissue paper that comes in your
shoes.
In your, yeah, exactly. Like I'm just getting paper cuts in my ass cuz I'm just terrible.
Oh,
yeah, there's something to say about good tissue, good toilet paper, right?
There totally is. Life's too short for bad liquor or scratchy toilet paper.
Nothing ruins a good crap like some bad toilet paper.
On that note,
uh-huh.
I forgot to say Sam Farmer and Larry Farmer, or Larry... Larry Morgan, I've had too much of not your father's root beer. Oh, God.
Oh, excuse me.
Hey, what was it, Angela?
I think. I have it written down.
Oh, that's good stuff.
Angela Peters. Thank you, Angela.
It says, best served chilled or poured in a glass over ice.
Yeah.
Why not?
Best served in my face.
I like it a lot.
So, where can we... Hey, how's the radio?
I love it.
Yeah?
Yeah, Larry and I talked a lot about it last episode. I love it. The music's great. The people are awesome.
You know what you got to tell people?
What?
You can download the app.
That's right.
And then you could they could take you wherever they are. You could listen to the car, anywhere in the world. Desk, exactly.
Yeah,
exactly.
Great Wall of China.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, can you do that? They might geo-block you.
They may. Yeah.
sorry, China.
Geo-block. Yeah, in the App Store, it's a great app, 88.5 FM. It's a stable, good app. You can take it, you know, to work out or do whatever. Or, you know, take it if you have unlimited data, put it on your phone and slap your, you know, phone in your holder in your car, and you can listen to it in some places where you don't get the signal.
Exactly, exactly.
It's awesome. Thanks for bringing that up.
No problem.
And, of course, you can listen at your desktop at 88.5 FM.
If you, we got a couple more beers to go from listeners, but go ahead, keep them coming. Good root beer.
Keep them coming, Larry Farmer.
You can give a shout out on Facebook for beer recommendations, and you can also email them to me at joshuajflieger@gmail.com.
You know, I'm thinking about joining Instagram sometime. Oh, are you on Instagram?
No, I don't. I got puberty hair. I don't want to do Instagram. It just seems like such a teenager.
It really seems like a pain in the ass, but it seems like Facebook's for old people.
Yeah, but I don't want to go. I'm done. Facebook is the farthest I'm going on social media. I mean, I need to start trimming out my Facebook crap, too.
But you have a Twitter.
Yeah.
Do you ever check it?
No.
Because we've told people to go check you out there.
No, I've never said that. I created
I have.
No, well, don't. They made me create that account at the sound.
I bet if you go in and check, I bet there are all kinds of messages.
I have no idea what my password is. I signed in once and then clicked remember
find
me.
Out. That's your homework. You got to find out.
I don't want to tweet. I don't need to tweet.
I know, but how long did you do
that? This is a weapon I do not need to. I do not even at people's ears in my pocket. But I don't need to say stuff all the time.
How long ago did you create that?
Good 6-7 years ago.
And how long ago did you check it last?
6-7 years ago.
You have your homework for the next podcast is to go and find out all of the messages that have been sent to you and go back.
Nobody sent me anything.
I'm sure they did. Joshua Flieger.
Is it? Is that right? What it is? I don't know.
Yeah, it's Joshua Flieger. J-O-S-H-U-A-F-L-E-E-G-E-R.
How do you know this? I know what the last thing I posted. No, I remember the last time I looked at it is when you tweeted a picture of me and you at the premiere of Zombievers.
Really?
Yes.
That was 4 years ago.
That was the last time somebody tweeted at me.
3 years ago. God. You got to go back and check. I bet people
I don't
have
need
been,
to, though.
But I'm saying it would be wonderful show fodder to find out what people have been saying to you for 3 years that you've been totally ignoring.
Oh, that's a good idea. I did actually reply to an email that somebody had sent to our Facebook account in December. I wrote back. I was like, oh, whoops, didn't see this.
Hey, there's a lot of alcohol in this.
I know. It's not bad.
We're getting a little
sloshy. Do you
think
this would be good with ice cream, right?
Yeah.
I wonder if it does.
Float?
What's the deal with that special kind of root beer foam that happens when you mix it with ice cream?
Oh, and the same thing.
That's like its own unique food.
Same thing with the Coke float. Coke float's great.
I know. Have you ever had milk and Coke?
No. Is that good?
Yeah. It's like a melted ice cream.
Okay, Laverne.
That's where I got it from. She did
milk and
Pepsi. Yeah, Jinx, yummy Coke. Jinx, yummy milk and Coke. It's good. Everybody, I want somebody out there to try a milk and Coke and report back to us.
And report back your feelings at Joshua Flieger on Twitter.
And I'll make sure never to look at it.
I'm Andy _Chanley, if you want to find me there. I might join Instagram sometimes. I'll make that announcement. I'm sure everybody's on pins and needles.
I'm super excited to not look at it.
When the people that you know don't like you, and your treasured friendships end, tune into this podcast. We're your artificial friends.